Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we're getting started. Very seldom do I do shows that are really tied to, you know, events and things like that, but today I'm going to do this because, you know, the market is it's been squirrely, and when you really start looking at what's going on right now, this is typical. Even though most people think, oh, this is different, and you know, back the last time I did a market show where I kind of walk people off the ledge, and that's what today's show is about. It's about walking you off the ledge because some of you have been getting your statements and your investment accounts, and you're going into the fear mode and stuff like that. And everybody tells me always, I said, but you don't understand. This is different. This is a different market. This is not like the last one. And I would assume that if you go back to March 2020 when we had a pandemic, I would buy into the pandemic as being something that was different. But the reality of it was it wasn't any different. It performed the same way. You know, the market went down. Those of you that bought in at the bottom, you are loving life even after declines today. And if you hung on, you're way up, you know, still. So everything, it all works out. And so today I'm going to talk to you about knowledge, not fear, because there's a lot of fear people out there. They want to tell you that the world's caving in and all this kind of stuff we've got. And it's very simple. I mean, we look at it, we say, well, you know, cash, you know, if you've got your money in the bank right now, well, is that a great idea? I don't think that's a great idea because inflation, right? And then you say, well, what about bonds? Well, bonds, you know, interest rates go up, bonds go down. Oh, that's not a good idea. What about the stock market? I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, the market's dropped, you know, it's down and stuff like that. And how about real estate? You know, if you're in the real estate business, you can ask people. Yeah, I live in Nashville and the show goes out all over. People are like, nah, Nashville real estate's great. There's people moving in. It's always, you know, it's still going up. It's a great time. There's 100 offers on a house and stuff like that. And then you got another person you talk to. It's going down and all this kind of stuff. So how do you pull all this together? That's what I'm going to talk about today. What I do is try to walk people through the mindset of building a long-term plan. I have four basic components. If you're just tuning right now, if you want to write down something that will really help you along the way, I'm going to give you some bullet points that you might want to put to heart. And the first one is, I've always, in all the times I've been doing this, I've been doing the financial industry now for 38 years. I have experienced the 1987 stock market crash, you know, people thought was the end of the world when the Dow Jones was at 2,000 and a 22% drop. And, you know, I've been through, you know, the tech crash. I've been through all of it. But the one thing I know is that you can't time the market. You have no idea what the market's going to do. We just know that it goes up and it goes down. And so I'm going to give you four pieces that I have learned to stand by. And for the people that have followed up and followed through and just said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to operate without fear. I'm going to operate with knowledge and a plan. Then I'm going to get there. So how do we do it? Four pieces that you might want to apply. And if you don't have all of these in place, then what you want to do is learn how to get these in place. And so the first step is a plan, a clear plan of where you want to end up. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a long-term plan. Let me give you some examples of what the stock market does. If you're worried right now, if we go back to 1952 and we go back for 50 years up to 70 years since 1952, here's what you're going to find. The market's going to go down 5%, and it's going to do it three times a year on average. And it will recover, okay, about 43 years later. or 43 days later, that would be bad. So 5%, and it goes down about three times, and it usually lasts about 43 days. The last time that happened was previous to this year was in October of 2021. If you want to know how many times it's going to go down 10%, it does it once a year. All right, so one time a year, you're going to see your account drop 10%. Now, if you're really paying attention, then you see it drop 10%. But if you don't pay attention, which is what I always tell people because part of the plan is we just get diversified, what we're going to do is we're going to sleep right through it. We didn't know it went down 10%, and now it's already come back 10%. It lasts about 110 days. 15% happens about every 3 years. And the last time it did that was in March of 2020, and it's 251 days for a recovery. And then it happens about once every 6 years, which ended up going over in March of 2020, 15% or more. And that averages once every 6 years, and it takes about 370 days for it to recover. And so all of these short-term mindsets are what causes people to have problems. So what we want to do is, first thing is we get a plan. Number one, most importantly, we get a plan. And the plan is we're going to come up with our financial independence number, whatever it takes. We're going to continue to be disciplined, and we're going to continue to invest consistently. And so the plan includes three pieces: diversification, discipline, and dollar cost averaging. We call that the three D's of investing. So we're going to start with a plan. We're going to get our financial independence number. We are going to diversify ourselves across many things. You know, we have stocks, we have bonds, we have cash, we have U.S., we have non-U.S., we have all these different things like that. So what we want to do is make sure that our plan has the three D's involved in it: diversification, a discipline, and a dollar cost averaging. Part of the discipline is that we stay in when the market pulls. If we have an opportunity because by chance we have cash, then what we're going to do is we're going to start moving toward maybe buying in, and that's how we can dollar cost average in, meaning that if you think the market right now is down and maybe it's going to go down further, if you were to dollar cost average in, meaning bring it in on a monthly basis, if you had a lump sum of 100 grand, you say, well, I'm going to set it up and buy every single month for the next year, something like that, that would be dollar cost averaging. So we have four pieces: plan, education, an advisor, and products. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to go through and just walk you through how to deal with declining markets, where you should be. If you need help, visit roymatlockjr.com. We've got a lot of great information on that. Stay with me. We've got a great show today all about how to handle market declines. We'll be right back. Roy Matlock Jr. here today. If you're just tuning in, the show today is about market declines. And, you know, I remember back in the days, March 2020, I did a show. If you want to go to any of your podcast type things, you can find it. It's show 51. And show 51 was very similar to what I'm going to be doing today. And that was the March 2020 show 51 on my podcast, Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. We'll talk to you about what we said would happen back in March of 2020 and what actually occurred, very much in line with what always happens. And that is those people who took advantage of a downside and continued to invest, they're happy today. Those that held on are happy. Those that sold are unhappy. So one of the keys when you start looking at what we're talking about today is market downturns happen frequently. They don't last forever. So what we want to do is just manage through those market downturns. You have an emergency fund as part of your plan, so therefore you're not selling things into a down market. You know, I had a client call me just recently, and he said, hey, I've got cash right now that I could fund my daughter's college this semester, Would it be better than cashing in with the market down a little bit? I said, yeah, I would do that. All right. I would be more inclined to do a student loan than I would to pull out a market that's up 10 or 15%, depending on what it is. And so you start looking, you say, well, we never sell on the down. We only think about buying, but we never sell. It's very simple. It's common sense. People say buy low, sell high. Yet in the investing business, it's the most interesting thing. It's the only product I know that people want to buy when it's going up and they want to sell when it goes down. It makes no sense to me because I sit here and I say, wow, I just want to be in a position to have a little bit of cash, all right, when the market goes down and have the ability to be buying on a regular basis when the market goes down. So I get excited when things like this happen. I get on the phone and I talk to my clients and I'm like, if you have extra cash, this might be the one chance you get about every 6 years to go buy in and really do well and get a little bump, okay, in your investment account. So what we do, we have a plan. The plan is long term. We have our FIN number. We consistently invest. We diversify. We dollar cost average on a monthly basis. That means we just keep putting it in monthly. And then what we do is we reallocate and we apply discipline to what we're doing and we end up coming out. You know, I have the people tell me all the time, they say, oh, this is different. This is Ukraine. This is inflation. All right. We've got oil prices out the roof. The president. We got all these kind of things. But historically speaking, it's always the same. It never really changes that much. The key to it is that you just have to understand market declines are part of investing. How about that? Listen to this number. Every S&P 500 decline of 15% or more from 1929 through 2020 has been followed by a recovery, and the average return in the first year of the recovery after these declines was 55%. So if I were to tell you that the market's down right now 15% or more, that the average return is 55%, and it goes back every one of them since 1929, you would have to be saying to yourself, man alive, I'm so excited. The market's down. This is a great time to be investing. That's the stats. Market declines are part of investing. Here's the key. Time in the market matters, not market timing. So I'm going to give you an example. All right. Let's say that 10 years ago, 2012, you had $1,000 and you put it in the S&P 500. It would have grown to $3,790 by the end of 2021. But if you missed the best 10 days because you thought you could time it in or out or whatnot, you would end up losing 44% of the gain. How about that? If you missed the best 40 days, your $1,000 rather than being $3,790 would be worth $1,005. Now, let me give you how many days we're talking about. We're talking 2,500 trading days, and if you miss 40 of them, you take it from $3,790 down to $1,005. If you take and miss 10 days, it goes from $3,790 down to $2,108. So when you're out there timing the market, that doesn't work. Timing has never worked. I don't know anyone that times it. You know, people get lucky, and then they end up giving it back. Number three, emotional investing can be hazardous. Here's what happens. People don't like losing money, so they get emotional when the market's down. They get emotional when the market's up, but the emotion is way, way higher when the account value goes down. And that's when you've got to go calm, talk to your advisor because that's part of the deal, plan. Number one, education, number two, is the key. So the more educated you are, you're listening today to the show. The show is going to be about walking you through market declines and worries and things like that. I always tell people I'm around as a financial advisor to walk you off the cliff and keep you from making bad decisions, primarily when we have declining markets. I never have to worry about people calling me, hey, man, this really stinks. Okay, my account's up 22% this year. I wish I'd have gotten 30. I usually don't have that. What I do is I have it when people are worried and they become irrational. And some of you right now are listening right now and you're like, you know what, the market's going to go to zero. And it doesn't go to zero. It goes down and it goes up and it goes down and it goes up. And that's what markets do. You know, if we right now we're pricing our house every afternoon, I think in a lot of markets right now, the housing market slowed down and it's worth less than it was maybe a month ago because interest rates have gone up, that kind of deal. So what you have to do is you got to have a plan. You got to have education. Part of the plan is made up of things that occur to help you make it. We want to diversify. We want to have discipline. We want to stick to the plan. And then if we have money that we can continue to invest, or if we have money on the sidelines, we dollar cost average in, we ease into it and do that. So the third area that I think is very, very important is you find a financial advisor. You know, I'll never forget, I was at doing a seminar and I had a doctor. I was doing it for a bunch of doctors. And this guy says, well, I do all my own investing. You know, I do it all. And I'm like, okay. Well, I do the same thing. You know, if I have a chest pain, I get on and I Google it. All right. And I Google chest pain and then I start treating myself. And he kind of laughed. And I said, look, doctors don't know everything. Financial advisors don't know everything. But hopefully the financial advisor you're dealing with knows about money. Right. And if you have somebody that you feel comfortable with that knows about money, guess what? That's a good thing. So then what you have is the ability to have somebody that you can turn to when it comes to your money. If you want to, if you get in a lawsuit, you would hope that you have an attorney you can turn to and that attorney is very knowledgeable. So therefore, you can get great advice from that attorney. You know, I like to put together a team. I have obviously I'm a financial advisor. I don't need a financial advisor. I'm my own financial advisor. But, you know, the interesting thing about it is I talk to financial advisors all the time about everything. And I get a lot of ideas from other people in the industry. That's how I put my skill set together. So what I want to have is I want to have a team of people that can advise me. You know, if you want to get healthy, go find somebody that can help you get healthy. Maybe it's a personal trainer. I love to lean on people that know more about areas than me. I'm a scratch golfer, and I take golf lessons because the guy that I talk to, I think he knows way more about golf. That's what he does. And so one of the key elements to getting ahead is a financial advisor. And then lastly, we talk about products. And so today's show, we're going to continue talking about market volatility. If you need help, would like to talk to someone regarding your account, just a review to see if you're on track, visit RoyMatlockJr.com or you can call my office at 615-843-2999. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., we're back and we're talking money today, and it has to do with market declines. How do you handle volatile markets? How do you stay on track? What should you be thinking about right now? And there's four pieces to the plan, or four pieces to winning financially. The first one is the plan. The next one is getting educated. I would encourage you to listen through. I mean, I think right now I'm upwards of 150 podcast. You can find that at RoyMatlockJr.com or Spotify or Apple, any of those. It's called the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. I would encourage you to go in there, especially right now during volatile markets, to get more and more educated so you know what's happening. If you're just tuning in, market declines are part of the game. It's part of it. For every 15% decline since 1929 through 2020, we didn't have those declines in 2021, the average return in the first year after each of these declines was 55%. This is average. All right. When we were at during the pandemic and we saw that happen, everyone said the same thing. Oh, this is different. This is the pandemic. Da 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 da. It's different. And guess what? It actually outperformed the 55% from that bottom. And so right now we've got inflation. We've got different things going on. My belief is that this is normal. It happens. All right. I'm not worried about, you know, taking my money and putting it into a fixed indexed annuity and, you know, where it can only go up and never go down and all that kind of stuff. I hear these talk radio shows saying that. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the way you should go. I think you annuities have part of it, but don't be sitting here changing your plan because of the fact that the market has made some moves, okay? When you go in with the mindset of a long-term plan, you get very educated. You know, if you know what historically happens, you're going to say, wow, this is a great opportunity. Why now is a good time to invest? And that's the way I always look at it. I always have said, you know, I read an article, Warren Buffett bought his first stock somehow or another when he was 11 years old, and now he's about 90. And he said, I've been a net buyer every single year of the market of good companies since I was 11 years old. I've always bought more and sold less. So he is of the belief that you cannot time the market. I'm of the belief you can't time the market. So what we need to do is be going down the path of let's make it work. So how do we do it? All right, let's think about this. Number one, market declines are part of investing. Number two, time in the market is the key, not timing. You don't want to try to time it. You want to just be time in. Leave it in there. Make sure that it's there and you're diversified. Emotional investing can be hazardous. Don't make a change to your plan because of the market. The market should have no impact other than we do asset allocation, meaning reallocate. We don't want to be too heavy in one place and not enough because of market movements. In many cases, I set people up to where we do automatic allocation, or we do things where we have portfolios where the portfolio managers automatically allocate. If you're a 70-30 stock bond portfolio, they will automatically, if it gets heavy because of appreciation in stocks, they may take part of that, put it back to where it stays about a 70-30. Number four, stick to the plan. Make a plan, stick to it. Number five, diversify. Number six, you can put in, have some conservative money that allows you to be able to pull things if, in fact, you're needing money. That's your emergency fund. And also, if you're retiring. If I'm looking at investing and setting things up, what I want to do is I want to have a plan. I want to be educated. I want to have an advisor I can contact that has my best interest at heart. There's a thing called a fiduciary, which is where it doesn't matter what happens, okay, the whatever product that they offer, that product, there's no benefit to that product, and they can move it, do whatever as your needs change. You can buy insurance through what's called a marketing organization, or we have a marketplace that I have that if you are looking at life insurance or you're looking at, you know, long-term care or home and auto, any of that kind of stuff, I have a marketplace. It doesn't really matter to me. I push a button and it says your best buy is this on your life insurance. Your best buy is this company on your home and auto. Your best buy is this on long-term care, and it shops it. There's no reason to be out there, you know, overpaying for insurance, because one of the areas I find is that people are overpaying and underinsured in many cases. And so we have an insurance marketplace. And if you'd like to have more information on that, go to roymatlikejr.com and we'll shop it. All right, find out. You've got term insurance right now. Let's check and see see if you got the right thing. So you got products, you got the advisor, you got education, you got a plan. So now we're moving in a direction. Now, if you're young, you're going to invest differently than if you're older, if that makes sense. So what we're going to be thinking is, all right, more aggressive, dollar cost average. I ran a like a hypothetical last night for a young couple, and I said, you got to get $100,000 in. All right, as soon as you can do it, get $100,000 as quickly as possible, and you will end up being pretty much financially independent. From that $100,000. How do you get $100,000? Well, people get married in their 20s. In this case, it was a young couple. They just got married. They both were making $60,000 a year each. And I said, look, how hard is it to live like you're living on one income for a couple years and save $100,000 and get yourself healthy financially? I used to go into homes and would do appointments in early days. And, you know, I'm like the guy at the carnival that can, you know, guess your age and guess your weight and all that. Well, I can guess if you're broke. I could walk into someone's home and in looking at from the time I pulled up, and I would always ask him a question. I'd say, how much money do your neighbors make? And they would say, I don't know. I said, well, they make what you make. They live in your neighborhood. And then what I would find is that one person with the same income had no debt. They had their 401k being fully funded, and they did all that. Then another person has got car payments and credit cards, and they live next door to each other. I could pick it out from the time I pulled in. I would see what was going on. And so there's a system to getting where you need to go. If I'm young, what I want to do is I want to not do dumb things that cause me to get in trouble. What are some of the dumb things that generally happen? We go buy new cars. We think that credit is good, so therefore we turn around and get ourselves in debt. I've always said in many cases, bad credit is good and good credit is bad. It's not really, but for a lot of people, the best thing that could ever have happened to them is to get cut off. All right. And so when you're young, you don't want to be, putting yourself in a position where you got new cars that depreciate in value. You don't want to have, credit card debt. You don't want to have any of that stuff to begin with. But if you can't write a check, or in my words, have a car payment, meaning one, then you should buy a lesser expensive car and not allow yourself to get sucked into a deal like that. We then go buy a home when we're young at a level that the payment doesn't matter, so therefore probably the realtor that you're talking to cut back the price you can afford by about 25%, and that will probably be a better move for you to get yourself in a position to free up. Now, what we want to do is we want to be in a position where we're saving at least 25% of our income. If at all possible, we are putting that into pre-tax, either IRAs or 401k, stuff like that. And so what we're doing is we're building a plan. We're not worried about what is happening with Putin right now. We're worried about what's happening with us. And what we're going to do is create a plan of action to get ourselves where we need to be. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned. Visit roymatlockjr.com. Download some of our free resources. And if you need help or want a 15-minute phone call, you can do that as well. That's roymatlockjr.com. We'll be right back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. We're back. And today's show has been about, stay calm. Don't worry. Things are going to be okay. We're not going to lose all of our money. We're going to work on a plan. The plan is made up of three parts, when it comes to investing: diversification, discipline, and dollar cost averaging. We have four parts to winning the money game: your plan, your investment plan, which should be written. You should have someone help you. Learn your financial independence number. We've talked about becoming educated. I would tell you, go to roymatlockjr.com or go to Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. There's 150 podcasts that if you go listen to that, get your kids to listen to it. I know you may get sick of me, but the only thing I try to do, and I've been doing this for years, is put out all the information I can to help you be educated. I would much rather be talking to people right now that are my clients that call me up and they say, hey, you know, do you think this is a good time to invest? The market's down. I would rather have that than panic selling. Everything's falling apart. So I've always tried to do things. We have a thing called the Master Class of Investing, which has a lot of things that, you know, we go through that help you walk your own self off the cliff, in addition to, you know, with what I do. That's what I believe is my job, is to manage expectations, walk people through the downsides when the market is going the wrong way, and look at why you should be considering moving toward an excitement level when the market's down. You know, I've been told many times, you're the most unemotional person I've ever met. And I don't know if I get that from golf, but I tend to be very calm when everything else is chaos. That's just the way I roll. I don't know what made me that way. I think I do a lot of education to do that. I found that every emotional decision generally is bad. All right. I want to be a lot more logical. And logic says when the market is down, it's a bad idea to lock in your losses. I think that's pretty easy. If you have something that is, if you have $100,000 and the market's down 20%, I don't think locking in at 80 is a good idea. I would think that it would be a great idea to just hang on, knowing that the market has recovered forever and ever and ever, and I see no reason why it wouldn't. When will it recover? I'm not sure. But along the way, if you've got a 401k or whatever it might be, this is, you're going to be buying every month. So that's a great move. We then want to diversify our money. And in diversifying, we're going to be, depending on where you're at in life, a young couple, which we talked about earlier, we said don't make the bad decisions as a young couple and get yourself in debt, because that causes you to not be able to save money. It hurts you long term because of time in the market. And so you want to be making sure that, you know, from, I don't think you, you know, I had a guy tell me in this, he said, I don't think, I think if you buy a new car and you don't have $1 million saved, that you're dumb. That's how I grew up. And so, you know what? I just said, you know, why do I ever want to buy a new car anyway? I remember buying a few of them and I paid cash for them. And I was like, why do I want to buy a new car when I can buy one with 20,000 miles on it and save a bunch of money? I'm just that way. I mean, I don't have to have the brightest, newest. I can buy one 2 years old and save, you know, 30% or something like that. And so what I want to do is, as a young couple, I want to keep myself free to be able to save. As I get into my 40s, this is when I got to be really smart. Don't go overextending yourself to where, you know, you're in the home stretch. You want to be really smart with your money because you're getting your kids grown. And then when you retire, we diversify even more with the goal of not taking big hits. Hopefully, if you're with a financial advisor right now, your overall portfolio, even though we have market declines, you didn't get the market declines equal to that of the market. And the way you do that is you have a more diversified approach. And so what I try to do with people is get their risk tolerance in line with their risk capacity. So let's think about this. If you have risk tolerance that you say, I just can't lose any money. I mean, I cannot do it. I can, if it goes down $1, it just scares me to death. Well, I might sit there and have a conversation with you. It would go like this. Now, you're not making enough money to be able to retire one day with a risk tolerance that says you have to have guaranteed principal in everything that you do. Because you don't make enough money to do that, and you're not going to be able to save enough money. So when you quit working, there'll be enough money left. So regardless of the way your risk tolerance is, we're going to have to move you off of that somewhere to where the risk capacity that you're going to need to get, the return you're going to need to get is going to have to be at least this in order for you to have enough money to be able to quit one day. How about that? So what that means is we have to go through, and as a person that is trying to get ahead and get to a point where we work for, you know, till we're 65, and then you're like me, if you're like my mom, she's 99, getting ready to be 99, and you quit working when you're 65, you may live a long life, which is great, but a long life when you ran out of money, if you're 99 and you ran out of money when you were 80, then that's not a great long life. We want to have a great long life. And the way we do that is we have a long-term plan that allows us to do that. So we look at our risk tolerance and we look at our risk capacity. Then what we do is we start investing our money across things that fall in line with that. For instance, if you're young, you're probably going to be more aggressive. You're probably going to be in aggressive growth and growth funds and international funds, maybe a little growth and income fund. In your 401k, if you're choosing, you're going to be choosing the target date that is far out in advance. So if you're, you know, 25 right now, you would go out and say, well, it's probably a 2060, you know, 40-year target date. So what happens is you take your birth year and add 65 or 70 to it, and that's going to give you the choice. I tell people, without help, choose the target date. It's going to be managed based on your age. You know, the fund managers do that. They came out with target date funds strictly to make sure that people who weren't really educated on how to do things or didn't have someone helping them, that they could make good decisions that would be in line with what they should be doing based on their age. So a target date fund, as you get older, it becomes more conservative, especially in the last 5 or 10 years. And the target dates are even designed that if you left it in the target date and wanted to pull income on it, they manage it over a 30-year period with the idea that they're going to keep you getting income during that time. So what we're doing is we're going in and we're creating an asset allocation plan that keeps us calm. We want the market to go down if we're buying, obviously, because our idea is over time the market goes up. So every time you're buying, okay, you're in a situation that you're buying at a discount. If you're retired right now, you're going to want to have had, if you didn't, you should have, an advisor should put you in something to where you have some down buckets. So that bucket might be that the down market is you had some cash. I've had customers that they have cash sitting on the sideline, and I'm like, right now would be a great time for you to start using that cash, and we'll let your account come back, you know, from any declines it might be. We're not going to be 100% in the stock market when we're down, I mean, when we're retired, because we don't want to, we want to take some of the down out. If we're young, we want to take and give ourselves as much growth opportunity as we can. Again, dollar cost averaging in, putting it in monthly. If you put all this together, what you end up having is a plan that you feel confident in. You're not worried right now. You know, you want to, yeah, the job market is as good as it's ever been. You can't get people to work. So therefore, if you want to work, you don't have to be concerned about getting jobs, because jobs are plentiful, which gives you the ability to put money in because you got your income. It gives you the ability to not be selling because you didn't have an emergency fund or anything like that, because you can't work, can't get a job. There have been many, many times when the job market is not good. Today, the job market's good. So this is a positive thing. When we look at the economy, that companies are doing well. So a pullback in the market, it happens. It's part of it. If you're just tuning in, market declines are part of the world of investing. It will always be this way. Here's what happens. Again, since 1952, that's a long time, S&P 500 goes down 5%, drop about three times a year, and it takes 43 days to get it to recover. 10% about once a year, it takes 110 days before it on average recovers. 15% or more about once every 3 years, 251 days to recover. And 20%, it takes about a year to recover. It happens every 6 years. And if we go back to 1929, here's what you got. The average return, okay, is 55% if you see a 15% market decline. And so what we want to do, that's the 1 year average return since 1929 if we go out through that time. So what we want to be thinking about is, if we pull the averages off right now, would this be a great time to lock in our losses, or would it be a great time to maybe consider investing? So here's your choices in market declines. And as we finish the show up, I hope this helped. I hope I walked you off the cliff a little bit. If you need help, visit roymatlockjr.com and we can answer your questions, do a short phone call. But here's your choices anytime you have market declines. Lock in your loss, bad idea. Hang on, leave it alone, good idea. Best idea, if you have extra cash on the sideline, it might be an opportunity for you to buy at a discount. I've been doing this for 38 years. I've seen this come and go. I've heard people tell me this is different. It's not different. Here's what we can count on. Market, over the last 95 years, went up 64 times, went down 21 times. Average up was 19%, average down was 12%. I think it's a great time to be investing always. Visit roymatlockjr.com. Tune in next week. We'll be continuing to talk about money and helping you get financial independent. Thanks for listening.